The sages called to Vasudeva's house to perform with such auspicious religious activities were satisfied with proper gifts and then sent by Krishna to Pindarika, a nearby holy place situated about 2 miles from the Arabian Sea on the coast of Gujarat. Its current name is still Pindarika. So that's the second verse covered, more or less, or the second part of the verse. Significantly, Lord Krishna is mentioned here as Kalatmana, the form of time, or the supersoul. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to Arjuna as time personified, appearing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to destroy all the kings and armies who constitute a burden for the earth. Similarly, Kalatmana Nivasata Yadu Deva Gehe. Krishna was staying in the home of his father Vasudeva as time personified, thus indicating that the time was approaching for the destruction of his own dynasty according to his desire. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Mitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadaha Maheyam Dadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. We can appreciate the opulence of Dwarka. Being blessed by the association of these very elevated devotees. Vishvamitra, Asita, Kamva, Duavasa, Bhrigu, Angira, Kasyapa, Vamadeva, Atri, Vashishta, Narada, Muni. So very elevated. Not only that, the demigods were also visiting Dwarka to get the darshan of Krishna. So many great saintly sages, rishis, the demigods. Really was a sangha of great deva, all of the yadus are present, and as mentioned in the previous verse, ekachetasa, their consciousness was all focused on rendering service to Krishna, the members of the yadu dynasty, plus all of these great sages, Narada Muni, Asita Devala. These are all very elevated authorities, very well versed in the conclusions of the shastras, and so this the atmosphere in Dwarka is very potent, very powerful. Association is, Prabhupada gives the example, you know, in the association of the devotees, that one can be strong by oneself, one can be easily distracted or deviated. And Prabhupada gives the example of a bundle of sticks. If you have a bundle of sticks together and you try to break the bundle of sticks, even though each of the individual sticks taken out, you just easily snap it. So a bundle of sticks put together, even though individually you can break each one very easily, together you try to break it, then you can't, because together there's strength and association, and in the association of the devotees, then Krishna is the focus, that's why Prabhupada established a society of devotees. Even though traditionally, and even we were discussing yesterday, you know, detachment from the masses, seeking at what was one of the processes of knowledge. One of them is seeking out solitude, right? Seeking solitude, a solitary place. you know, which for the yogis in for those practitioners of say Ashtanga yoga, then that's ideal kind of situation where nobody can disturb you. But really what it means is detachment from materialistic association, removing oneself from bad association, asatsanga tyag, Vaishnava, acha. This is the first beauty of a devotee, actually, is to remove themselves. Seeking out a solitary place means at least removing oneself from materialistic association. And of course then the converse of that is then, or the alternative is then seek out the association of the devotees. So here we see very elevated personalities. They wanted to be with Krishna. And then by that association they come together and then they perform these sacrifices. Sacrifice, penance, charity, right? These are all activities recommended in the Bhagavad Gita for the purification of the general populace. And even though, you know, saintly persons like Narada Muni don't really need to perform sacrifices or yajnas, but they do so in order to set the proper example for the rest of society. Because basically it purifies. Because we have a very, in Kali Yuga, we have a very simple method of sacrifices, basically chanting Hare Krishna. That's our yajna, if you like. It also means that in order to do that effectively, in order to follow the Sankirtan yajna, then you have to be in the association of the devotees. And that then, as I said, it gives us strength. So that, you know, engagement in that type of activity, and here it's even mentioned, remembering those types of activities is auspicious. What's the word here? Sumangalani. Sumangalani gayaj jagat kali malapaharani kritva. Just by remembering the activities of the sages performing these yajnas and sacrifices, purified. Okay? So even if we we engage in a sankirtan yajna, and even we remember the practice, the performance of sankirtan, we get purified by that. The benefits of performing devotional service are manifold. Even just remembering one's devotional service, you get a benefit, not to speak of doing it. So the sages came to Vasudeva's house and performed many sacrifices. Then after performing the sacrifice, or this particular sacrifice, they were given gifts in charity, and then Krishna requested that they go to Pindaraka. And in this verse it's mentioned that Krishna is, Krishna is mentioned at the end of the purport. Lord Krishna is mentioned here as Kalatmana, the form of time, or the super soul. So, this is, the 11th canto is distinct or prominent, important because it describes the pastime of, or the antalila, if you like, right? The final pastimes of Krishna and the Yadus. So Krishna is orchestrating the final countdown, if you like, before the Yadus will be sent back to Vaikuntha, or for some of the demigods back to their respective places. So the pastimes are all finished. Krishna has performed his purpose for appearing. Paritranaya saudanam vinasayacha duskritam, he's destroyed the miscreants. He's performed his pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan and Mathura and Dwarka, the devotees, and now he's contemplated how to remove the Yadus. And so this is setting the scene. So Krishna is described as Kalatmana, is it? Yeah, Kalatmana, which means the form of time. And Krishna mentions in the 11th chapter, as it mentioned here, in a time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. And there's, you know, there's a description in the description of the universal form where Arjuna sees this ferocious, wondrous, inspiring form of the Virat Rupa, devouring all of the planets, all of the universes, all of the soldiers, everybody. Arjuna was able to see everybody being, it mentions, you know, they're being gnashed by the teeth of the universal form. So Krishna and also we're just reading in the 13th chapter how Krishna mentions, because here it mentions also as the super soul, Kalatmana, the form of time or the super soul. And we're reading yesterday in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna mentions as the super soul, he develops everything. So in other words, he's the source of everything, right? He develops everything, then he maintains everything, and then eventually he destroys everything. As a super soul. So as a witness to all of our activities. And then, you know, as the living entities go through the cycle of birth and death, they're born, and as a result of their past karmas, the super souls witness those past deeds. You know, Prabhupada uses this as an argument. Prabhupada talks about his teachers at Scots College in Calcutta, who would debunk the theory of reincarnation and karma. And they would say, you know, he said that their argument was, who's the witness? Who's going to witness these past activities so that we get the reactions in the future? Who's going to witness? Because Prabhupada would say, well, it was the super soul. Invisible to everybody, mentioned inside of everything and outside of everything, but invisible to everybody, right? Because they don't have, because our senses and mind are covered by material contamination, then the living entity is not able to perceive the presence of the Kalatmana, the form of the Lord as time, right? And in the form of time, he remains as the witness. He observes everything in the form of time, for everyone. But inconceivable for us. You know, we have enough trouble. Well, we can't even keep track of all of the things that happen to us. Right? We forget half of everything that happened. Well, more than half. 99% of what happens to us, we forget. And it's a mystery, you know, it's a mystery to us. We forget what's happened in the past. We're not really sure of what's happening in the present, and we definitely don't know what's happening in the future. But as a super soul, Krishna is within everything, and he observes all of the deeds, the past deeds. And then as a result of that, then he facilitates our, you know, our karma, our existence now, knowing what's happened in the past. And so therefore we get the results of our past activities. You know, we desire so many things, but we get what we deserve. Right? We get our deserts, our just deserts. So, in the form of time, or in the form of the super soul, then Krishna winds up the activities of everyone. You know, we go through the stages of existence. We're born, we grow up, we produce some byproducts, we maintain ourselves for some time, then we start to dwindle, and then eventually we finished. And then it starts again. And that's all orchestrated by Krishna, as in the form of the super soul. So he's referred to here as Kalatmana, because as the form of time, he's now winding up his final pastimes, which he does for everybody. Even for the atheists who may not believe in God, Prabhupada says that, you know, when it comes to death, then everybody, it's mentioned, you know, on the battlefield there are no atheists. When death is staring everybody in the face, and they're like, oh my God. Even if they're not thinking, they don't think of God. At the time of death, everybody suddenly becomes very devotional. Huh? Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, like a dying man looking at a picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very devotional. Oh my Lord, please save me. So, Krishna is appearing, is manifesting himself very much so in this Kalatmana form to finish the pastimes, to finalize his pastimes. It's very sad, actually. This particular sequence of events is not very appealing to the devotees, because it heralds and describes the departure of the Lord from the earth planet. And then, of course, at that time, then it means that according to the Krishna's plan, then the age of Kali is introduced. So it's a very sad lila, if you like. But of course, it's Krishna's lila, so it's also transcendental. You know, Krishna appears, stays for some time, then he disappears. Apparently like an ordinary human being. I was reading the other day, the difference between Vishnu and Narayan and Krishna is that Lord Vishnu, in his pastimes, he doesn't have a mother and a father, because he's the supreme eternal. So he doesn't have a mother or a father. There's no mother or father of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Which sort of illustrates how Krishna's pastime is actually more complete, more comprehensive than the pastimes of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Because in the pastimes of Krishna, we see in Vrindavan, Mathura, then he has relationships with his mother and father, which you don't see in the relationship between Lord Narayan and Lakshmi Narayan. Or the Lord in Vaikuntha, he doesn't have a mum and a dad. So, you know, this is all part of the transcendental leela, Krishna's leela of appearing in the world, performing his pastimes, and so then also there has to be then an antya leela. But it doesn't mean that, even though it appears like an ordinary, the ordinary activities of an ordinary person, it's not. These pastimes of Krishna are still activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to facilitate his mission, to facilitate his purpose. And they are not the karmic reactions of a materialistic person. You know, we get our karma because of past misdeeds. And so therefore we have to be born, we have to die. But Krishna's appearance and pastimes and then his disappearance, they're divyam, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. They resemble the activities of the ordinary person. And so therefore they're bewildering. These pastimes of Krishna's disappearance are very bewildering for people because it looks like, oh, he's just an ordinary person. But they're not. Janma, karma, chame divyam, evam yoviti tatvataha, chaktvadeham puna janma, nayati mamati sarajana. So Krishna mentions in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that his activities, even though they appear to be like an ordinary person's activities, they're not, they're transcendental. And we can see that by the extraordinary activities that Krishna performs. We can understand that he's not an ordinary person. Whereas materialistic people can't appreciate Krishna's transcendental position. And as we were discussing yesterday, avajananti mamuna manushim tanamashritaha. Foolish people, non-devotees basically, or those not able to appreciate Krishna, think that he's just taken on a form of an ordinary person. And so then they question. As we were discussing, you know, they question, how is it that Krishna can lift up Govardhan Hill with his little finger? You know, how does he do that? Because they're thinking he's just like us, just an ordinary person, so how can he do it? But he's not an ordinary person, that's how come he does it. He's God, so he can do what he likes. So here we're seeing that Kalatmana Nivasata Yadudeva Gehe, he was residing in his father's house, as time personified, indicating that now is the time for the winding up of his pastimes. And so he's telling the sages, now go to Pindarika. Of course, at Pindarika, that's where the sons and the grandsons of Krishna will try to play a trick on the sages. Being too frivolous. Right? This is why, you know, you can't be a Gurukuli forever. Right? One has to grow up eventually. Because otherwise what happens? You're too frivolous and not respectful to others, you commit offences. You know, we are pained somewhat by the fact that we have to grow up. Right? It's always nice to be able to play. But eventually, you know, you have to go to school and then, you know, after going to school, then you have to mature and be responsible and do things properly. We much prefer to spend our time just playing, right? But we have to grow up. Sooner or later, we have to grow up. So, Krishna was taking advantage of this immaturity of the younger members of the Yadu dynasty and their familiarity with the saintly persons, with Krishna, even himself, which is dangerous. And he took advantage of that, sent the sages to Pindarika, assuming that's where they're going to... Yes, in that holy place, the young boys of the Yadu dynasty had brought Samba, son of Jambavati, dressed in women's garb. So this is it. This is the point at Pindarika. So Krishna knew that. This is all his arrangement. And this section of the Bhagavatam teaches us or shows us very clearly how this is Krishna's arrangement. This whole pastime is being orchestrated by the Lord for the final pastimes. So he's like a, he's like the director. He's also one of the actors. Right? He's the director, the producer, the main, lead role. Right? To use a Bollywood analogy. and he's directing all the... What is it? Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantra rudani mayaya. So he's directing the wanderings of everybody. In this particular case, he's directing the wanderings of the sages, his sons and so forth, so that eventually they'll create the curse that destroys the whole dynasty. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? The, it says that the in the home of the chief of the Yadus, Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, yeah. Why is he called the Lord of the Yadus? I think you need, what you need to do is a job for somebody, I suppose. Although, is it? I think somebody, isn't it in the third or fourth canto of the Bhagavatam? There's a genealogical table of different personalities. No, it's very complicated. I don't pretend to even understand. I know who the Pandavas are. And you know, because what is it? You know, Arjuna you know, there's all these intermarriage, and so there's all of these, you know, it's very complicated. Like any family tree, it's complicated. So it wouldn't be a bad idea. You could do a genealogical table and you could come up with who's married to who and what all the relationships are. But in 5 minutes I probably couldn't tell you. And I don't know most of them in any case. I know that Krishna is Balaram's brother. That's, and Arjuna's his cousin, so there is a relationship through Vasudev Devaki and Kunti. Vasudev and Kunti, brother and sister, right? Yeah. This is that's that's about the length and breadth of my understanding of things. It's complicated, as are all family affairs. Complicated. Or no, it's not complicated so much. It's just a lot of details, a lot of details, a lot of information. So, and obviously it gets complicated with the Yadus because Krishna had 16,108 wives, and each of those had 10 sons and one daughter. So that's a big family, right? So you know, you should try and work that out. Or remember it all. And even in the Bhagavatam, earlier on in the 10th canto, I think it only mentions the principal 108 queens. There's a list. And there's a list of the sons and so forth. A few, can't remember, about two-thirds of the way through the Bhagavatam, possibly. Well, certainly in the past, it's described in, you know, when the pastimes come to Dwarka, then there's that description of the queens and the sons and so forth. So there's a lot of A lot of personalities. And it's like we were reading the other day, 3 trillion, was it? A trillion Brahmana teachers, you know, to teach everybody. You know, just inconceivable. So, yes, a big family. A big family. Some of them have the same names, yes, also. That's a fact. Yeah. Which is reasonable, you know, because in families, there, you know, the father will call his son the same name as himself. Right? So in America, you know, you'll see, that's not common in British usage, but in America, you'll see, you know, Martin Luther King III. Right? So, you know, and in, you'll see the a repetition of names. Anything else? Yes, Mahatmaji.
Just one comment. As you said, we get what we deserve.
We get what we deserve.
So no complaints.
If only that were so. If only that were true, then yes. Okay. Gantarachinat Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samavikta Bhaktavinda ki jai.